It's where Paul talks about, eating meat. All right, yeah, he can eat no meat if meat offends his brother. He's talking about the issue of eating meat that's been offered to idols and all that. She's saying that she'd go through this chapter, and she's saying that what she got out of this chapter is that means you can have fellowship with people who are following another Christ, who are praying to another Jesus, and it doesn't matter as long as you're praying to the right Jesus and you're following the right Christ. That's how she's twisting this thing about meat. So first of all, into scripture, I guess it's better to read the scripture first, and so you know what the context is of what is being said here. It's 1 Corinthians 8. I'm going to read 8, 1 through 2 and 7 through 12. It says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Howbeit, there is not in every man this knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to the idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound a weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So she's writing this Bible teacher, and she's saying, I'm studying this chapter 8 of Corinthians, and this is what I'm getting out of it. Okay, this is what I'm getting out of it. She said, this chapter is really speaking to me about a situation I found myself in with her husband. Yeah, he says her husband's convinced that her brother and her parents listen to the devil, and that she's now listening to the devil because she's read the Bible and prayed with them and all that. And she said, God's speaking to her through this chapter and showed her something different. You can't be affected by devils like that. If somebody has a devil, you can pray with them anyway. It doesn't matter. She said, this chapter speaks different to me, and I want your opinion on what I'm seeing. She says, first of all, this knowledge can mean several things. Yes, knowledge is knowledge, and there's always someone else out there who knows more than we do, but we are still instructed to study to show thyself approved. There are some things, however, that we can't just learn. You can sit in fellowship with men and women who you perceive to be good Christians, who love the Lord, and they may even believe that they are. So if you pray with these people that believe, how is it that the Lord, in all his mercy and grace, can't protect his children from being affected? Well, obviously, he is greater than any devil out there, and is more than able to protect us. This chapter goes on speaking about eating things, meat, that are sacrificed to idols. Meat is meat. Yes, we eat food to fill our bellies, but we also eat meat figuratively to fill our spirits. If someone is praying to a false Christ and eating their knowledge with that understanding and purpose, then they have defiled their conscience. However, if a true believer in Christ has fellowship and eats with this defiled meat that was sacrificed to an idol, it cannot harm them because, as verse 4 clarifies, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. Does this not all mean, then, she's saying, doesn't this mean, then, that I can pray with someone who I understand to be a brother or sister in the Lord, and ultimately, who they are praying to means nothing to my spiritual health, as long as I am praying to the true living God? Okay, so she obviously is going to need to study this more, and said, thanks a lot, and, so-and-so. Okay, I'm going to clarify this for you, okay? She says, I can pray with someone who I understand to be a brother or sister in the Lord, and ultimately, who they are praying for means nothing. Who they are praying to means nothing to my spiritual health, as long as I am praying to the true living God. You understand what she's saying there? I can pray to people I think are Christians, I think are brothers, whether they are or not, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they're praying to, it means nothing, as long as I'm praying to the right true living God. Okay? In other words, she believes as long as she's praying to the right Jesus herself, it doesn't matter what spirit those she's having spiritual union with are moving in. Okay? As long as people say they're following Christ, it doesn't matter what Christ they're actually following. As long as she is following the right Jesus, she's convinced herself that none of their wrong spirits could possibly affect her. See, that's the kind of thing these people are taught in the churches. And when the reality of a situation hits home in your life, when the doctor becomes a situation where things are happening inside the home, they run for cover. They run to try and get stuff out of the Bible that isn't there to support this lie that you can be a Christian and never be involved with demons. That you could be in prayer with people who follow wrong Christ and won't harm you. See, Jesus is responsible to protect you. That's the whole thing. Jesus is responsible to protect you, no matter what you do. Now, that wouldn't apply to anybody, especially this woman, because she'd been warned again and again about the spirit she was getting involved with. So now it's not like, you know, her husband warned her. So it certainly doesn't apply to her. All right. Again, she says, you can sit in a fellowship with men and women who you perceive to be good Christians who love the Lord, and they may even believe they are Christians. In other words, she's talking about people not even Christians, but they believe they are. So if you pray with these people, how is it that the Lord in all his mercy and grace can't protect his children from being infected? Well, obviously, he's greater than any devil out there and is more than able to protect it. Okay, God's able to protect you. See, but the Bible is given over and over again things you have to do, to remain under his protection. Okay? Things, and that is, come out from among them. Don't be involved with certain things. Die to yourself. I mean, there's all kinds of things that the Bible gives us that are important that we must do in order to remain under God's protection. Yes, God is able to protect us. But just because he's able to protect us doesn't mean he's going to protect us. Doesn't mean he has to protect us. See, that's the arrogance and the assumption that just because God can protect you, he has to protect you. She also says this, okay? Just bring that again. If someone's praying to a false Christ and needing their knowledge with that understanding and purpose, then they have defiled their conscience. However, if a true believer in Christ's fellowship and eats that defiled meat that was sacrificed, now it cannot harm him. And so, you know, she's completely confusing and distorting the argument Paul's using in 1 Corinthians. Turn it on its head, give it a meaning that means nothing about it, okay? I mean, 1 Corinthians 8 is about offending your brother. Not offending your brother, if possible. Not taking the knowledge you know, the freedom you have, the liberty you have, and not letting that become a stumbling block to your wicked brother. That's all that's about. And she turns into something where Paul's saying, you know, when Paul says we can eat meat offered to idols, because we have knowledge that meat's nothing and the idol's nothing, that means we can pray with, we can walk with, we can study the Bible with, we can have spiritual union with believers who are walking under another Christ. That's how she's spinning that passage. I'm going to tell you that spin comes from a religious demon. That's a religious demon in her mind spinning scripture. But that's not really what Paul is saying. You know, an unbiased reading of that passage is going to reveal that it's immediately clear that when you read that, the subject is the conscience of the weak brethren with regards to the meat that has been offered to idols. You know, to put it very simply, the knowledge Paul's referring to there in that passage is it specifically had to do with knowing that all meat is fine to eat, regardless of where it came from, whether it came from a temple and was offered in a, you know, a sacrifice, or came from the regular meat market, or came from your buddy's garage over there where he slayed his pigs or whatever. All meat is clean to eat as long as you're praying over it, sanctifying it, okay, and you're walking in the Spirit. That's the knowledge Paul's talking about. He said, don't let that knowledge, your knowledge of what your freedom, offend the brother who just came out of idolatry and sees a big piece of meat there that he knows just came from the temple. He's going to be emboldened to eat that if you don't explain the difference, or, you know, if you don't watch what you're doing, he's going to be afraid to eat that, but then he sees you eat it, he's going to eat it. His conscience is going to be defiled. That's all Paul's saying there. You know, some of the people sold meat in public. They sold public. They also sold in the temples. And as a matter of fact, some of the best meat markets were located in the temples, in those pagan temples, because that's where the best meats were offered to the pagan gods, you know, those cultures. So the meat you ate for supper could very easily come from a temple meat market. And Paul's, you know, is talking about the new believer who would not be able to partake of that meat that was purchased in a temple meat market without the following conscience. So the more mature believers in that same fellowship would know, they would have the knowledge that it didn't matter to the Lord whether that meat came from a temple market. But apparently the believers who had that knowledge weren't moving in love because they refused to be hindered in their eating habits by the weak conscience of the new converts, okay? They ate whatever meat they felt like eating based on the correct knowledge that they had. It wasn't the knowledge wasn't correct. It's that the knowledge wasn't being done in love, okay? It wasn't that what they were saying wasn't correct. It's that they were not caring about the weak conscience of the brother while they're partaking in their liberty to eat what they want. See, Paul wasn't saying that knowledge regarding the true nature of meat was wrong. What he said was, your correct knowledge is not being exercised in the love of God. It's your pride that is demanding the new converts to defy their own conscience just so you can keep eating the meat you want to eat. You're going to eat that meat, which is going to embolden them to eat that meat because you don't want to stop eating that meat. And you know you don't have to stop eating that meat, so you're not going to. That emboldens them, weakens your conscience. They sin, you're causing them to sin. He's saying, die yourself. Die yourself in that particular area. restrain your eating habit while in front of the weak brethren, so as not to cause them to sin against themselves, their own conscience. You know, unless you exercise that correct knowledge you have in love and death to self and preferring your brother, the knowledge becomes useless. It becomes, you know, it's not used for the good of the rest of the body. It's not profiting the rest of the body. It's making you proud, and it's destroying the rest of the body. See, so the issue isn't knowledge. The issue is what you do with your knowledge, how you, you know, how you walk out that knowledge. I mean, I'm just going through this quick to show you that it's obvious that the problem in that situation there with the Corinthians was not knowledge itself. What knowledge was wrong. Paul was, you know, where was Paul telling the Corinthians that they could have a spiritual union with whoever they want to, as long as they're a believer, as long as they're praying to the right Jesus, as long as they're doing what's right? That's crazy. That's just asinine. It's bizarre and asinine. He wasn't saying if someone's praying to another Jesus or following another Christ, you can still eat meat with them, or spiritual or otherwise, have fellowship with them, because you're praying to the right Jesus. That's a crazy interpretation of that passage. It's all about laying down your life for your brother, not letting your liberty cause another brother to sin. And that woman took that, and she's trying to build a doctrine on it that's going to allow her to keep in fellowship, keep praying, read the Bible, keep spiritual union with these people that are walking under an Antichrist spirit. That's what people do. They go to the Bible with their own agenda to prove a point that they don't want to hear, or disprove a point that they don't want to hear, disprove a truth that they don't want to receive. So this minister that she writes to wrote back and said, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. When, you know, when she said, you can sit in fellowship with men and women, you proceed to be Christians, and pray with them, that they're doesn't matter what Christ you're praying to, as long as you're praying to the right Christ. All those things she said in that letter, he wrote it back and said, you're clearly right. That's right. And then he wrote a whole bunch of things about me. I'm not going to read them. You know, that I'm an angel of the devil, and I'm, you know, I'm of Satan, and I'm a brazen rebel against the Lord, and I'm a false prophet, and I mean, but anyway, I just want to read you one thing he says, two things actually, just two short things. You know, she got mad because I said to this brother in one of my emails, I said, look, her family's already toast. Her family is too proud to admit that they're following the Antichrist spirit, and they'd be too proud to ever submit to the kind of correction, to submit to the kind of work, submit to the kind of instruction and deliverance that they would have to get delivered from that spirit. They're too proud. The family's just filled with religious pride. I said, if your wife doesn't get free from that thing and start submitting to you and start allowing you and God to show her the truth, she's going to be just as lost, just hopelessly lost in that spirit as they are. So she read that and flipped out. And she told this minister that. And this minister said, I'm of the devil because Jesus never said that. He never went around giving people no hope. He never said, it's over for you. It's over for you. You know, I'm playing God. I'm playing judge. You know, but I'm going on experience I can see. I'm telling you, people who get lost in that spirit, they don't get out. They do not get out ever. And especially if they're too proud to admit it. They'll never get free. But anyway, so he says, the one thing he said was, he quoted what she quoted something in that letter about me, you know, that I said her whole family was beyond help. And he says, beyond help? And then he says, I'm speaking to the devil. That's the devil speaking. You know, he said, Jesus never made such a pronouncement. Or when he did say hard things, it was never with the conclusion of never. Never with the conclusion of never. He is the God of restoration. Okay, so he's saying, Jesus never said you could never be helped. Never condemned anybody to hell. Never said it's over for you. You can't be helped, okay? So he's saying, I'm a devil for saying that. I'm speaking the devil's lies and doing the devil's dirty work for saying that her family's toast. And if she doesn't get free from that thing, she's going to be toast, just like them. But, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 23:33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You know what that means? He was saying, you can't be saved. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He was saying, that's the same thing as saying, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Okay, so that's a lie. This guy thinks he knows the Bible. He thinks he knows the Bible inside and out because he's got a spiritual gift. And it came from Antichrist. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention was, this is the root problem with this minister and all ministers out there, almost all ministers out there, especially, you know, let's say the ones that don't understand spirits and how spirits work and that they can get in your life as a Christian. This is the root problem, okay? He says, judge not lest you not be judged. Jesus' true people are new creatures in Christ, and as such, they are ministers of reconciliation, not ministers of condemnation. Okay? And what he's saying there is, we're new creatures in Christ. We cannot be religious spirits. If you go to this guy's website, he has thousands of articles, probably hundreds of thousands of articles And not one of them deals with spirits. Not one of them. He talks about death to self, picking up your cross. He preaches all kinds of good stuff. But not one article on there. He has all kinds of audios, 100 audios. Not one audio on there talks about a Christian having a demon. Or Christians getting free from demons. Okay? And this is what happens. When you talk to people who don't believe the truth, who don't want to know the truth, and you start telling them their friends or relatives, or they have spirits, or they have a religious spirit, which can take them to hell, get them beyond the pale of salvation, beyond the pale of help, the deeper they get into it, they just turn on you because all their doctrine, I went over this again and again in my room, how all those doctrines are built in their mind to show them and tell them that that's not possible. If you're a Christian, you're a new creation. If you're a Christian, the devil can't touch you. If you're a Christian, you cannot be possessed. You cannot be obsessed. You cannot be nothing. The devil can't touch you like that. You can. God would never let you, his child, end up walking under a religious spirit and have Jesus gone and the only thing left in that temple, a spirit of Antichrist. Jesus would never let that happen to you. Or would he? Or would he? I wonder what those people think about the Todd Bentleys and all the people who aren't famous like Todd Bentley. Rick Joyner. And all the people like Rick Joyner who aren't famous. You know how many Rick Joyners there are in this world that aren't famous? They're doing a little thing out here. You know, just affected 20, 30 people. This world is full of people who have fallen a false Jesus. And they weren't all false prophets to begin with. They didn't all start out false. Many of them were real Christians. And over the years, Jesus Christ was replaced by Antichrist. The Holy Spirit was driven out of the temple and was replaced by the spirit of Antichrist. They're lost on the way to hell and they will never, never get free. I'm telling you, Rick Joyner will never be saved. Rick Joyner's going to end up in hell. Bentley's going to end up in hell. They will never let go of that false Christ. Not because the devil's so strong that God can't ever free them. They won't ever want free. They don't ever want free. It's the free will of man that keeps choosing the wrong thing. The devil knows what they want. He gives it to them. They grab onto it. They latch onto it. They won't let it go. And it's the wrong thing. And they want it. It's not they can't get delivered because God's not powerful enough to deliver them. It's they won't get delivered because they want what they want. The devil's giving them what they want, and they're satisfied with it. And they'll never listen to anything else. You'll never convince Rick Joyner that he's following another Jesus. Never. That boy's on his way to hell. It sure as my name's Daniel Mace. And anybody that can't say he's on his way to hell, it's nuts. You can't say Rick Joyner's on his way to hell because he's following a false Jesus. You don't know what's going on. But yet, see, when you step up and say that, well, for some people, it's okay. It's okay because they believe Rick Joyner was never saved. Okay, Rick Joyner was never saved. Todd Bentley was never saved. So you can tell them they're going to hell. But you can't say a Christian who was once a real Christian, he's on his way to hell. Definitely. Because once you do that, you're judging. And who are you to judge God's servants? Who are you? Another man's servant's going to fall and stand before the Lord. Who are you to judge him? How do you know he's not going to be saved? I know from man's nature, man. Man's nature is revealed in the Bible. It's revealed in life. It was revealed all around you. Satan is winning in most people's lives because he's giving them what they want. They won't die to self. They won't die their own desires and their own lusts. Religious desires included, religious goals included, ministry or anything else. They won't die that stuff. And so he's giving a counterfeit, and they're clean. They go for it. They just go for it. They'll never let it go. It pleases them. It gives them good feelings. They think they're the center of God's will. Everything they do confirms it. All their dreams confirm it. All the power they have confirms it. They have millions of people following. That confirms it. How are you going to get that kind of deception? You tell me. You're not going to get that kind of deception. Once you get to a certain point, it's impossible to get free unless you do something very, very radical in your life. Unless you get around somebody else that can help you. It's not that God can't free you. It's that you will never let it go. You will never let it go. See, you know, people always trying to turn the issue around saying, oh, you're exalting the power of the devil above God. God can free anybody. Of course God can free anybody. Technically, God can free anybody from anything. But how many people are going to end up in hell? Is that because God couldn't free them? Because they wouldn't choose to let God free them. You can't just ignore man's will in all this. When people get to see, there's a will there involved. And the devil can give you what you want, and you convinced it's Jesus, you're going to be toast unless something miraculous happens in your life. And all these people being deceived, they're being deceived, and they ain't coming back, most of them. Most of them ain't coming back. That's why I can say they're toast, because they are. And anybody can't say that, you don't know what you're dealing with. This minister, well, I'll tell you who it is. The minister is Todd Tomasella. My old buddy Todd Tomasella. He don't know squat about the devil, what the devil's doing in people's lives, what the devil's capable of doing. And he also only heard one side of the story. And the Bible says a man's a fool if he makes a decision only hearing one side of the story. he never bothered to write this guy's, this wife's husband, or ask me or anything about what's going on. Just he's just taking all her vomiting out of her garbage and making his judgment on that. But anyway, the thing is, he doesn't know. When you try to talk to people who don't know about these spirits, they have no comprehension how powerful they are, what they can do, how they take people, control them, and never get free. You're talking to people who are blind. B-L-I-N-D, blind. They're blind. I don't care what you say. I don't care what Bible verses you give to them. It does not matter. They're blind. They'll never see the truth. So you just got to hope that when you're talking to people about this kind of stuff, you're talking to people who still have some kind of open mind. They haven't been totally closed by all the indoctrination in the churches. You can't have a demon and blah, blah, blah. And the Spirit of Christ can't dwell in the same vessel as a demon spirit. All that kind of crap they come up with. But this religious spirit is dangerous, people. It's dangerous. I'm telling you from first-hand experience, it is dangerous. And many people who get in it will never, ever get it. They're already toast. They're already toast. And once you get someone in your family that's in that position, and they've been given over that spirit, then you're going to have a division in that family, and the family's going to be separated, or else everybody in that family is going to end up under that spirit, one or the other. There's no other way around it. See, that's what this guy's going through. And, of course, because I'm encouraged, I might become the guy who's wrecking his marriage. So I just want to let you know, again, I've already told you this. I'm sure you remember, and you probably know yourself. This religious spirit is a whole different class. It's a whole different level of deception. You're not dealing with this, something like a demon of smoking or a demon of drinking or some kind of addiction. This is a religious spirit. This is a counterfeit of the Holy Ghost. Okay, it's going to tell you to read the Bible. It's going to tell you to go to church. It's going to tell you to do religious things. It's not going to tell you to go out and gamble. It's not going to tell you to go out and smoke dope, cheat on your wife. It's going to tell you to do religious things. Get close to God. Talk about God nonstop all day long. Read the Bible. Read religious books. Go to conventions. Okay, your whole life becomes just religious, religious, religious. God, 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 God. And that's not the right God. And Christians don't understand that that's possible to happen to anybody. They think it's only going to happen to people like Rick Joyner. Because what was Rick Joyner? Was he not saved at the beginning? They think if you're not saved at the beginning, you can get in that kind of condition. But if you're a real Christian, you can never get in that kind of condition. Never. So it's very bad what's going on. And your life, and it gets in your family, then your whole life is turned upside down. Believe me, your whole life goes upside down. That's, you know, it becomes a horrible, horrible thing to go through. So I just want to share that tonight. Get back in the saddle. Back out there swinging. I haven't been reading what everybody's saying here, so anybody have anything they'd like to say or share or add or question, step up. Anything to share at all, go ahead, feel free. Yeah, man, well, thanks, Harold, or Judy, whoever that is. God bless you. Let's see, Jim says, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted heaven and given the compassion of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the Word of God. Hebrews, okay. Hang on a second, Jim. Looks like Judy and Harold wants, or Judy... Go ahead. You got the mic, Judy or Harold.
Dan, I've been really thinking about your messages recently, particularly last week, knowing Christ, and particularly in line of being led by the Spirit versus sola scriptura. And I can be another testimony of one who was walking in deception as a believer and not following after the real Christ, following after a Christ that was made into my own image, one that was a Jesus that I could live with very easily because the Jesus I was had in my life was one that would meet every one of my needs, everything that I wanted or I desired out of being a Christian. And after quite a few years, I found out that none of these things were being fulfilled, and I was becoming very disillusioned and very angry and very put off about him. I was angry with God. And the greatest hindrance to that is that I was never taught to know him personally in a way that that I would know the real Jesus. And even today, I still have a problem with that. And it wasn't until you came and sit in my living room and shared things with me that began to bring truth into my life, to deliver me from those false concepts and that false Jesus in my own life. And so I'm a strong supporter of hearing the truth, and that's the ministry that you've brought to all of us. And so want to encourage you in that part of it, and also to encourage each of us to begin to know God for ourselves, begin to press in and allow Him to deliver us from every single vestige of our own flesh, of the world, of the devil. And it's a battle, and it's one that we're going to have to fight. That's the other thing. We were always taught that we can just allow Jesus to do everything. And when I began to read the scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to it, I found out that there was things in it that we needed to do, that I needed to do. And one of those is fight a good fight, to wage war against an enemy that comes to steal my soul and affect everything in my life, my family, relationships, my walk. But more importantly than all of that, it was my walk with the Lord. And so I'm thankful to God that we're hearing truth that will set us free. And I really appreciate Pam being bold enough to come forth and give her testimony tonight. And it was a real blessing, and I'm sure that we're all encouraged, because we need to set our eyes on Jesus. We need to set our eyes on the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to bring that to us. And so that's all I had to say tonight. Stay in there, brother, and fight the good fight. Take up the sword. Take up the shield. Take up the helmet. Take up the breastplate. The whole armor, and stand and fight. And that's what you're teaching us all to do. And we need to fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Brother Howard. Appreciate it. Amen. Go ahead, Sissy. You got the mic, sister.
Thank you, Dan. I hope everybody can hear me. Pam, thank you so much for your testimony. And Brother Harold and Brother Dan for what you spoke about tonight. I really need you all to pray for me. Because like Harold, you know, no one ever really taught me either to really get to know the Lord. And lately, it's really strange. Lately, I've been asking the Lord to allow me to really know Him, and that He would know me. You know, I don't want to just read a scripture and use it as a cliche. That doesn't glorify the Lord. But to have His heart, you know, and to be truly made into His image. That's my desire. I mean, I've got some battles here, and Brother Dan and you and your family know some of the things that I deal with here. But I am in a battle, a spiritual battle in my own home. I thought I had some victory the other day, and it's really a tremendous spiritual battle that I'm dealing with here. But you know what? I know the Lord will give me the strength that I need to overcome. I refuse to cave in. I refuse to cave in. I will not. And I don't know. I guess this is very humbling, and I don't care. I don't care that I have to humble myself. You know, in front of brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you were here in my presence right now, in my very home, I would be doing the same thing, saying the same thing to you all. I really need your prayers, and I'm praying for you all as well. I love you all. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Mr. Sissy. Thanks for sharing. We'll keep you in prayer, that's for sure. The devil's out to take everything away that the Lord's been building in everybody. He just can't stand it. When you start really moving in the spirit, you really start getting close to God, it just sends him into orbit. He'll do anything, use anybody to try and discourage you and stop it. Believe me. So I know it's rough. Some situations, very rough. Hey, man, well, anybody else have anything to share? Or any input? Okay, well, let me just say in closing. Let me say this in closing. Most Christians, they depend on their knowledge of doctrine and their knowledge of the Bible to keep them out of deception. What I've been trying to say since the first time I opened this room, since the first week I opened this room, what I've been trying to say is you must know Jesus. You must know Jesus in a deep and intimate way, because deception's coming on the scene. Doctrine, knowing the Bible ain't going to cut it. Christians do not believe that. They will not accept that deceptions are coming, that doctrine, knowledge of the Bible won't cut it. You have to know Jesus so deeply you can hear his voice when he says that person is wrong, that person is moving on another spirit. It sounds like the Holy Ghost. He's quoting the right scriptures. He's saying the right thing. It's truth, but it's not me. It's a religious demon. You have to know Jesus Christ in a deep way where you can hear his voice, his inner voice in your spirit tell you that when you run across them like that. That's the only thing that's going to save us from these people. From these people who are expert at the Bible, who have been given spiritual gifts that are not of God, and it can just deceive you in a heartbeat if you don't know Jesus the way you need to know Jesus. It's a very dangerous time we're living in, and it has nothing to do with doctrine anymore. These spirits can preach true doctrine. They can quote the Bible from front to back. You've got to know Jesus and know the source of what they're into. What's the source of what they're saying? What's the source of what people are saying? It can be true and wrong. It can be absolutely doctrinally correct and come from a demon. Christians cannot get that into their brain. They just cannot get that into the brain. It's all about the Bible. It's all about truth and error. They can't understand. These demons have been given the power to start speaking truth, to start speaking biblical truth, preaching biblical doctrine, quoting the Bible, imitating Jesus, imitating his voice, imitating his presence, imitating his joy. They just can't get it. I mean, I say it over and over and over and over again, but they just don't get it. They say they do and they don't. I'm telling you, only knowing Jesus is going to protect you and me in this hour. That's why I try to emphasize it. You must know Jesus. He's the only one that can tell you what the source is, what you're hearing. The Bible can't tell you, and doctrine can't tell you. Only Jesus, the person, can tell you when you're hearing a wrong source. So that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Don't be fooled by correct doctrine. Don't be fooled by people like Todd Tomasella, who can quote Scripture and bring Scripture together like you can blink an eye. He can get a whole sermon together in 2 seconds. He's got a gift that came from the Antichrist. I just showed you that tonight. He says Jesus never said there was never any hope for people. Never. That's a lie. He told the Pharisees no hope for them. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He's quoting the Scripture through the power of religious spirit. Power of religious spirit to deceive people. Okay, so I caught it. I can catch that. But what if someone that got preaches the absolute truth and there's no mistake in it? Not one mistake. Absolute truth. Can you perceive if it's coming from the wrong source? See? How's where you pray for the brothers under attack? You just pray that he stands strong in his convictions, what the Lord showed him. Obviously, the Lord showed him very clearly at the very beginning that this guy that was part of the family was started hearing from another spirit. And at the beginning, his wife knew it was true. She believed it was true. She was with him. Okay, but when push came to shove and the wife realized there's going to be a real permanent division in the family because the mother would not accept it. The mother would not accept the son was deceived. And she's going to fight for the son's honor and all that till death do the part. You know, when the wife realized there's going to be a separation, a permanent separation in that family forever over this issue, she buckled and she went on that same spirit. So he's alone. He's just alone. Now, the only thing I pray for him is, Lord, keep showing the truth. Just keep showing the truth. Every time they talk, every time they speak, let the truth come out. Let your discernment be there so he's understanding what's going on behind the words, behind the tactics, behind the manipulation. And he's going to end up losing his whole family before it's all over. But that's a price he's going to have to pay to not be deceived by that spirit. So just pray that nobody in your family ever, ever comes under that kind of spirit, because your family's over. Or else you're going to compromise and be over with them. You know, it's a terrible, terrible thing. All right, so just pray for him to stand strong in what the Lord's showing him the truth is. I don't tell him what to do. This guy calls me. He tells me what the Lord's showing him. And most of the time, I believe it's right. I get a witness to my spirit that he's doing it. He's seeing it right. He's doing the right thing. So, I mean, they just think I'm telling him what to do, and he's following Dan Mace. That's not the issue at all. That's not the way it's going. I'm just confirming what he's already getting from the Lord. You know, that's why he's calling me. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You want to pray for him good. I'd keep him in prayer because it's a heavy battle he's in. It's a heavy thing to lose your family. Very easy to cave in and say, man, is it worth it? Is it really worth losing my whole family to stand for this one truth? And lots of people, it ain't. Believe me, a lot of people, it ain't. It ain't. They can't pay that kind of price. Okay? So it's a very serious hour we're in. I just wanted to bring it out again tonight. Help myself get back in the saddle. Get back in the war wagon. And you can pray for me, too, this week. To keep me in your prayers. Along with Sissy. Okay? Anybody else before we shut her down? Last call? Okay. Well, thanks for coming, y'all. I appreciate it, and I'll try and get something together for next week. I won't be so tardy. All right, so we'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise, all right?